Blog Talk Radio.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried. The one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried. Dear old daddy, rest his soul, left my mom a heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill his shoes, working hours without rest, wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.
Okay, welcome to Your Mother's Medicine Cabinet. I'm your host, Frank Reardon. This is brought to you by the Literary Underground, all those people. I'm really freaking sick tonight, so just freaking deal with me. Tonight's guest is Misty Rainwater Lights, or whatever any other code names, but let's just call her that. I'm going to bring her on. Misty.
Hey, Frank, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay.
That's good. So how's it going in Texas?
When I'm not Kim Wu, the conversation tends to be kind of stilted unless I'm drunk, and I'm not drunk. So I'm just packing boxes for the big move to San Antonio. We're going to move at the end of the month. So that's about it, packing boxes, reading the latest issue of Us Weekly.
So is that going to be like a really big thing for you, leaving a little cowpoke town that you told me about that you were in to the San Antonio, which is a pretty cool city that I've been to once?
Yeah, I've not been in the city since I was in Albuquerque in late 2007 after I gave birth to my son, Jackson. We moved to Nederland, Texas, East Texas, December of 2007. And I've been in a small town in Texas ever since. It'll be good to be in a city again.
Excellent. So what you got going on in your life in the art world?
I just published an anti-novel myself at Egelance Press. Lulu.com last night. It's called Fudge, all caps. I was trying to think of a title, and I thought, well, fudge might be good because people Google fudge recipes, and Judy Blume wrote that really successful series on Super Fudge, the kid who swallowed a turtle. So I thought, I can't go wrong with fudge. So I just started off. I wanted to write anti-fan fiction. I wanted to put celebrity names in there and just make these ridiculous scenario. So it starts off with Tom Cruise in a cowboy hat on the Titanic, but it's a sink this time. And he's seen there with his wife, Kate Moss, and Evan Stone as her personal assistant, and it just kind of devolves from that. Just a bunch of kind of unrelated stories using different names, celebrities, and literary names like Scarlett O'Hara, Jessica Wakefield. And then I put in stories, old stories that I posted in my blog, Voxy Christmas, and then I thought I would put in my abandoned novel that I started writing last year. I got to about, 100 pages, and I just was tired of it, so I abandoned it. So I went back to that, and I end Fudge with the abandoned novel set in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Excellent.
And it's about 187 pages, I think. But I think it turned out really well. My inspiration was kind of Kathy Acker, my mother, demonology, and Pussy King of the Pirates. I like how she just, you know, the nonlinear narrative. I like that a whole hell of a lot. And also, I was in a Sequoia bookstore in Albuquerque listening to Todd Moore read from his novel, Dreaming of Billy the Kid. And I just really like the nonlinear narrative. It's not as good as Todd Moore's book. But I just think it's important when you're writing a novel to have fun with it. It's not, if you're not having fun, why fucking bother? And make it ridiculous. And when I try to stick to a linear narrative, it never turns out well. Well, with Nobis on Potty, that was linear. And that turned out well. But other than that, I have to have
like
fun and be ridiculous.
You have like these, like when you're talking about your thing there with the, you know, Tom Cruise in a cowboy hat on the Titanic, which kind of makes me laugh because I like picture him drowning. But like you have like this like bizarre collage of things sometimes, and I see it like in your picture stuff, and sometimes with, like all the dolls and stuff like that. Like, where does all this inspiration come from? Have you always been like that since you were a child, or?
Yeah, it overlaps, I guess, because in my collages, it's disparate images, and then in my writing, too, a lot of the time. My childhood, I don't know. I didn't have a very literary upbringing. The only books around my house were, like, true crime books and, you know, magazines. There was never a library. In my mom's house or my grandparents' house, it was always just, you know, I had to fend for myself. And I found literature and poetry and all that stuff on my own, absolutely. I didn't have any role models or any guidance in that area. And so maybe that's what it is, but I read a lot of magazines and true crime when I was a kid.
Well, that's cool. I think it's like, it's very inventive and fun in a way. I mean, I couldn't just lay around thinking of, like, if I think of Tom Cruise, I just want to, like, you know, put a rocket up his ass, like, and blow him up or something. But but you, like, I like him in a cowboy hat and stuff, which is an image that I'm going to have to live with for the rest of the night now. So do you, like, have anything in front of you you could read?
Oh, I'm looking at this Us Weekly, Jay Leno, 25 Things You Don't Know About Me. I fucking hate Jay Leno. I hate Tom Cruise. I hate popular culture. I hate Gwyneth Paltrow. I hate Courtney Love. I don't like popular American culture, but I'm drawn to it. It's a sick fascination. And I've got The Amazing Spider-Man versus Dr. Octopus. I got this from Jackson at Walmart today to shut him up. And then I've got Sugar in My Bow, Real Women Write About Real Sex, edited by Erica Yong. Let me get on the computer here and I'll read some of Fudge. Let's see. I won't read the Tom Cruise part.
Well, she's looking for that. If anybody wants to call in, feel free, and you can talk and ask questions if you want.
Oh, it's the long disc. Okay.
Well, she's looking for that. Next week's guest is going to be Dog on a Chain Press out of North Carolina. Feel free to call in. I don't know, whatever.
Oh, Chupacabra. No. My God, I've got way too many pictures. I need to start deleting this class.
There's some pretty inventive pictures that you got, like, at the Barbies and all that stuff. I think I said that a minute ago.
Yeah, I don't have a social life. I don't get out. I'm pretty much housebound.
Hey, I've been almost housebound for almost 2 years as well, so I feel you. I know that it can get you into doing some pretty inventive shit.
Let's see. Here we go. Okay. Scarlett O'Hara was drug Facebooking again. Since certain people continue to spread vicious rumors about me, I am here to set the goddamn record straight. I never gave Ashley Wilk the blowjob. I am not his bitch. Melanie is like a sister to me, number one. Ashley is like a brother to me, number two. I come from Irish and French royalty, number two. I do not suck cock, number five. And most important, I am married, people. I love my husband, Rhett Butler, very much. I would never disrespect him like that. What you think you saw is not what you saw, so stop hating on me already and try to find a new fascination like designer footwear and football. The pink poodle phone rang. Whenever the pink poodle phone rang, the pink poodle's tongue stuck out, its tail wagged, and its eyeballs rolled around. Scarlett O'Hara picked up the receiver and said, "Hello." I'm not going to try to do the southern accent. The voice on the other end said, "Scarlett O'Hara, your order is ready for pickup at Walmart Photo Center." The voice belonged to a robot. "I don't have an order. I never ordered any photos. I don't take photos of my private parts. God, I'm sick of these lies." Scarlett O'Hara screamed. She threw the pink poodle phone against the wall. Rhett Butler, Scarlett O'Hara's husband, appeared with a bottle of Maker's Mark in his right hand. "Baby, what's wrong?" Rhett Butler slurred. "Fucking Facebook, fucking Twitter, fucking Pinterest, fucking MySpace, fucking Walgreens." Scarlett O'Hara cried out with heaving breath. "Baby, I told you not to go online when you've been drinking. It only leads to heartache. Come on, let's go to New Orleans and eat lobster, caviar, and beignets," Rhett Butler said. "Oh, Rhett, you do love me, you do. Of course I love you, sweet honey baby." They took the jet to New Orleans. Up in the sky, they drank whiskey and fed each other gourmet white cheddar popcorn. An eclectic mixtape played, "Sugar Water" by Sibo Motto, "Catatonic" by Babes in Toyland, "God Bless the Child" by Billie Holiday, "Spirit Ditch" by Sparkle Horse, "This Charming Man" by The Smiths, "Go Mad and Mark" by Envy, "Oldest Story in the World" by The Flintstones, "I Do, Dear, I Do" by Nick Cave. "Oh, Rhett," Carlo Harris said, looking out the window, "this world is so vast and it belongs to us."
Oh, yeah. I didn't know if you're done or not. That's so, I don't know, you just got like this inventive way that like I don't see in many other writers now. It makes you quite unique in the things you write and the things you do. So who is your like, who are your like main inspirations in life when it comes to writing?
Lately, it's been Kathy Acker. My mind's in a blur. I've been just manically ordering books from Amazon and eBay because when I moved to San Antonio, I won't have the internet anymore, and so I've been trying to get all these books. Of course, they have used bookstores in San Antonio, so that's good. So I have to go and actually physically look to see what books I've been reading. Oh, no. No, that's not an influence there. This is a great book of poetry. I love this. "I Live in a Hut" by S.D. Smith. I just read this. I got this one at Half Price Books in San Antonio, actually, when I was there looking for an apartment. She writes kind of like a James Tate, who's a favorite of mine. She uses a lot of humor and the disparate images, stuff that she puts it all together to just work somehow. I think I found the book at Goodreads. Someone had mentioned it at Goodreads, and so I got it. And yeah, it's great. Great. Big Slutty Bear, Manifest Destiny Land, great title, third one. Bingo Gossip, Why I'm Not Famous, Fuck You, Your Scrappy Truth. Oh, I want to start collecting Mexican comic books.
Oh, what are those?
Well, I've always liked the Spanish soap operas. I don't understand them, but I just like how they over-emote and the women are so beautiful. And so I was at this flea market a couple of years ago, and this guy was selling all these old Mexican comic books for really cheap. And so I have been reading these to my son, and then I had the idea of going on Babelfish and figuring out what the hell they're actually saying, and it was funny.
Are they like superheroes or?
No, it's like the soap operas. It's these women, like this one woman, come to find out, she's crying, she's upset. The guy put a pill in her drink for some reason. He wanted to get her pregnant, and he did. And then he abandoned her inexplicably. He knocked her up and then just left her, and so she's crying about it. And having a picnic in the woods with her girlfriend talking about the guy, and then she's in the kitchen crying, and then she's on a boat crying, and then it ends with her having the baby, and the last picture is of her crying, saying, "Hija mía, perdóname," and I'm not sure what that means.
So do you think there's a question I ask everybody? Do you think there's any kind of role in the internet in writing today? Do you think it's a plus or a negative?
It's been both for me. It's been a double-edged sword. I got really addicted to MySpace there for a while, and then I got really addicted to Facebook and came into some strange situations there. And I kept leaving Facebook, and I finally said, I need to leave for good. When someone had posted something about privacy concerns, I don't know, conspiracy theory, whatever, it was some deal that just made me cautious, and I thought, I reveal far too much of myself here, number one. Number two, it's taking away from my actual writing because I just go there and, you know, I'd go there and do the status updates and put hundreds of pictures in my photo albums, and that took away from the writing. So I am really looking forward to not having the internet in San Antonio for God knows how long, until Jackson starts pre-camp September at least anyway. And so, and when I was offline in Corsicana, we had this house when we first moved here, this old two-story house we rented, and it had a library. I've never had a library in a house before. That was just incredible. And I wrote Mortiscato in that library. So being offline, I'm definitely more prolific. I get a lot more done. But what I've been manically trying to do here lately, knowing that I won't be online here in a couple of weeks, I'll be offline for a long time, I've been going to my blog and just doing tons of entries, short stories, flash fiction. Being at the fiction art community has helped me with my writing. I never really had a lot of confidence in my prose writing, and I gained that through the community there at Fiction Art. And so I've been writing tons of short stories and flash fiction lately, and I found this site where you can edit your photos for free, and I used that to use my weird pictures and put Ebulence Press on them with different fonts and different colors, and I've been doing that, putting those at Flickr and trying to use tags and stuff so I can drive traffic to my websites. And, oh, when I was inspired by, I read the Texas Monthly that had Willie Nelson, those guys on the cover, talking about how outlaw country was born in Austin in the early 70s, and Waylon Jennings and all those guys was talking about that. And anyway, in that magazine, there was an article on this Texas teenager from Dallas who has this fashion blog. It's basically her taking pictures of the designer high heels and different shoes that she wears. And she got famous from that. She made money from that. And so I've always had this dream that I could actually make money with Ebulence Press and actually make money from my writing. And I've gone back and forth. I know it's unrealistic, it's a pipe dream, blah, blah, blah. But I went back and thought, maybe just maybe I can use the correct tags and drive traffic to my blog and actually make some money with this. And so that's what I've been spending hours on lately, is tags and blogs and trying to drive traffic to my websites.
Well, so do you have anything else you could read us?
anything to avoid going back to entry-level America, which I'll have to do in September probably, go back to a call center. Let's see. I'll go to Fictionaut because I have stuff there in the archive.
The phone lines are open if you'd like to call in. There's 25 minutes. Call in and call Misty if you'd like. Oh, hold on. I'm going to bring someone on while you're looking for something.
Hey,
you're
Frank.
Live.
Hey, Frank. It's Jeff Santolo. Great show again. Good job. How you been?
All right.
Good.
Do you have a question for Misty?
I just wanted to pose the question to her in reference to the flash fiction that she had talked about on the internet, and I wanted to get her feelings on, how she feels about the constraint of flash fiction and how, or is it conducive, or does she find it constricting towards creativity? Because I think it's an interesting quote-unquote new genre or form, I should say.
Flash works for me. I prefer flash to any other genre in fiction right now because I can only devote so much time. That doesn't sound right. Well, I've got a lot going on otherwise with my son and just, the house and getting things ready. So, and I'm just scattered. I'm really scattered. And so Flash is perfect for me. I like reading Flash and I like writing it. And I didn't really get into it until I stumbled across Fictionaut. And I think it's really helped my writing doing the Flash because I think it is important to write at least a little bit every day, and Flash definitely helps with that, writing a little bit every day.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting. I find that the constraints, the most challenging thing when you're writing a novel is sometimes what not to write, and it because you have so much freedom, and it allows you so much opportunity to express yourself. There's a lot of directions you can go to. Whereas if you're forced into, kind of boxed into a situation, it really gets you to the real core guts and blood of what you're trying to express. And I like that. I mean, it goes back to the French. Was it the Olé Pooh? Have you ever heard of that group? Raymond Queneau and all those guys out in France back in the 50s who started this whole constrained writing. And this flash fiction, I think, is probably a very interesting modern genre that can really, really take off.
Hmm.
I didn't know it had that went back that far. That's interesting.
I'm sorry. I'd love to hear you read some more.
Do you want
here's a flash piece that I wrote that I got a lot of responses on at Fictionaut. It's 522 words. It's called Bad Wiring. It was inspired by Ira Levin's, I guess it's a novella, The Stepford Wives, either a long story or a novella. It's not a novel, but The Stepford Wives. She was a defective model. He wanted to send her back, but no one would take her. It seemed she was all his until she completely broke down. Then he could scrap her and go shopping. The idea of that shiny day kept him going. For one thing, her friends were weird. They were poets, the lot of them. He wasn't sure what they did for money. No one would pay them for their poems. Yet they were always in his kitchen smoking their cigarettes, drinking cheap wine, jabbering on and on about how to make it in Mexico on $5 a day and how to fake interest and timeshare bills in order to win free trips to Vegas. One of the poets was born a woman but decided to become a man. His girlfriend had the opposite problem. Just think, the husband told his defective wife. If they had met when he was a girl and she was a boy, they could have saved themselves a lot of trouble. The defective wife shot bullets at the husband with her eyes and said, "It's not quite that simple, Henry." Then there was the night he came home from work with a valuable associate. He had called to warn her that he was bringing company home, but as usual, his call went straight to voicemail. The husband and the valuable associate entered the kitchen to find the bad wife mopping the linoleum, naked except for a pair of red high heels, screaming along to an Iron Maiden song that was blasting from the stereo. Well, he thought at least she's finally taken an interest in housework. Sex was the worst. She was goal-oriented. She wanted to help him achieve orgasm as quickly as possible so she could return to her Anne Sexton and Wallace Stevens books. Her orgasm did not interest her. Also, she was diametrically opposed to kissing and cuddling. You should take a lover, she told him once after he berated her for being so cold. There was no manual to consult. The husband was at a loss. None of his friends or relatives sympathized. You got yourself a beautiful, intellectually curious wife, Henry. Count your blessings and shut your trap, his best friend Eddie said once during the church picnic. Henry tried to eat the potato salad without throwing up as he watched his wife flirt with the youth minister's teenage son. She was so happy and grateful once, her eyes gleaming adoration whenever he presented her with a new appliance or a sexy polyester thing from Victoria's Secret or FedEx of Hollywood. Once upon a time, the blowjobs had been enthusiastic and the roast beef had been succulent. They would go to the cinema and hold hands during the Notebook and Garden State. Hell, they even danced around the den a few times to Lionel Richie ballads. Someday she would break down completely. He would scrap her. He would go shopping. The idea of that shiny day was quite the carrot. It kept him going, stoic-like.
Nice. How many words you say that was?
522.
Do you like, to those who might not know, and I'm sure maybe everybody knows, but would you mind explaining flash fiction as opposed to, you know, short story or something?
Flash is usually about a page, I think, and a short story, 2 pages to 7 pages,
yeah,
12 pages, whatever.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. But, I mean, I get the gist of what it is, but I just sometimes people ask. And so you don't really write as poetry as much as you do fiction?
No, I mean, I still write poems and post them on my blog. I've not been submitting as much as I have in the past. I go to Duotropes and I find a lot of journals at Twitter, but the guidelines elude me a lot of the time. I don't like the specifics of the guidelines, and I just can't be bothered with it. So I'm like, oh, fuck it, I'll just post the poem at my blog. When I first got started in the small press, I guess it was 2005, I kind of had a go. I wanted to get revenge on my first ex-husband, and I just wanted to have a lot of publication credits, and so I just sent out stuff to all these journals, and I've had a pretty good experience in the small press, but I don't care anymore about getting publication credits. It doesn't really have any relevance in my life. So I mostly just post poems at my blog, but I've been writing more flash fiction than poetry, definitely, here lately.
So you're more of a purist at heart in a way that you don't, like, I remember, like, Mike Taylor, he didn't find any need in publishing either. He more enjoyed the art of writing, more per se, than publishing. Is that how you feel now as time's gone on?
What I've taken the most from the small press, my greatest glory in the small press has been meeting writers whose work I really admire and respect. There's no contest there. That's been the best thing, is meeting people and forming real relationships with people. I first went to California in April of 2006, and I was just blown away by the people that I met there, their charisma and the actual work they did, with their charisma in person. Even better than just, you know, reading their stuff, hearing them read it at the different places, Christopher Robin and Joe Pachinko and Bill Taylor, and I was lucky enough to hear Scott Wanberg read, and I was just blown away. So that's what I've taken from the small press, is the relationships that I've enjoyed and meeting these people and hearing them read their stuff. And I'm just always bemoaning the fact that I'm kind of stuck in Texas. If I could be anywhere, I'd be in San Francisco. But I'm here, and I'm glad I have those memories of the times that I could make it to California and be around people that I admired so much.
I would have to say that I agree with that the small press, the meeting the people that I admired or their writing or or finding new people or what have you, and the relationships I've met, and the actual art of writing myself and, you know, finding a publisher for my own book is far more exciting to me than, like, pumping out submissions. I mean, I do it because I feel as I have to, but I don't do it as much as I used to. You know what I mean? It's kind of like the art of creating myself by myself, because when it all boils down to it, you're writing by yourself. You're not writing with the relationships you've made or
exactly.
places you published in. So, Jeff, you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, that was summed up very well. I think the whole idea with flash fiction, if you will, is, you know, we live in a culture today that's attention span is so short, and sometimes, and it's sad to say, but to get your message or your what you're trying to say across, it's so almost vital to condense it as quickly as you can, because we live in a soundbite culture, you know, I mean, we just do. And I think it opens up great opportunities to just really just kind of take that over and bring poetry and bring this type of fiction, which is really poetic verse, to the forefront and make it a more mainstream, viable, modern art, you know, because there's so much talent out there. You know, I've read, you know, Misty, you got Frank, Dan, I mean, there's so many people with great talent, and I come from the screenwriting side of it, so I'm all about constraints because, you know, they tell me, you know, on 120 pages, Jeff, here you go, you got to write us a film, and, you know, that's never been my true passion, but that's how I made my bread and butter, and now I'm doing novels, and I'm trying to put the same constraints on to get across, you know, what it is specifically I want to say, because I'll go on tangents, as I'm doing now. But
there are so many authors that write novels. I'll just try to make it, like, not take too much time away from Misty, but there are so many novels that, you know, they're written differently by different people, and you could have, like, Brodigan, who can, you know, say so much in so little pages, and there are other authors, you know, that take 400, 500, 600, 700 pages. So I think novel writing is a lot different. As opposed to, like, when you have poetry, you could have, like, you know, Basho or, you know, haikus, or anybody who writes haikus in a few lines. And I think, like, kind of like flash fiction could be like that in a way. I don't know. I don't write it, so I don't know. But
yeah, my point is just to get the voices heard. That's all. It's just that, you know, the Tolstoy, you know, 700-page novel or what have you is kind of come and gone. And it's, you know, to the future, I just see it as being to become viable again. It used to be a time when, you know, writers were well-known. Everybody knew who E.E. Cummings was, even your average man on the street. Whereas today, most people would be hard-pressed to name you one modern poet, you know, or even
That's
one
true.
Modern great author. And it's time to change that. It's time to make these arts viable again. So there's that mix between true art and finding that form that's going to talk to the people.
And I mean, I think that in a way is like what me and Misty were talking about, the friendships that we make when we go and do readings. I think that's kind of in many ways one of the ways to do it, because then you got to, like, go and, you know, you got to hustle your books, and then you got to do all this and that, because in independent press you don't really have the luxury of what, like, Stephen King gets, which is a plane ticket bounced around all over the country and someone lugging the books around for him. His name sells itself.
Right.
So, I mean, but Missy, you have anything else you'd like to read? I mean, we got 10 minutes left or we can just shoot the shit. It don't matter. It's up to you.
Libido will not be televised. This is a fiction art. This is, it's not flash. It's more like a prose poem. Sometimes it's hard to tell what it's like, but I think this is a prose poem. Libido will not be televised. Give her the nice Coca-Cola lotion cock in your stopwatch heart for Christmas, for Valentine's Day, for National Clitoris Day, just because. Chew him up concise and swallow with sparkling water to show you care. keep it clean and concealed inside a white pastry box. Smile your bland, share your beige at church and the Rotary Club meeting. Safe inside the monkey house, skitty screams and wild swings are allowed that hide the cameras from curious fingers and careful with the belt and piping hot white cream gravy can cause blisters to form. And San Francisco will never be the capital of America. Meditation on Duluth, a study in polite contrast. Shake the sweaty hand that feeds you raspberry, balsamic chicken breast, and olive oil drizzled asparagus spears. The magic word is discretion. A paper shredder is a wise investment. If she leaves evidence behind, you can burn it, but you cannot burn her. Those kind of days are over.
Nice.
Nice.
So, when we got you here talking, with 9 minutes left, since you're going to be banished from the internet for quite a while, if anybody wanted to, find your material, how could they get their hands on books or anything that you might have?
Well, the books are at lulu.com. My storefront is lulu.com/everyonespress. The blog that I've maintained for several months, I just finally bought the domain. I never said it before, but I finally broke down and spent $20 to buy the domain. It's roxychristmas.com. And Chupacabra Disco is at Blogspot. So that's it.
Okay. So, what you got planned after your move to San Antonio? What you gonna do with yourself out there?
I've been saying for years that I want to get out of my head and live inside my body. I think that can only help my situation. So I'm going to join a boxing gym and sweat a lot and lose 30 pounds and lose fat and gain muscle and live inside my body. And I'm also going to learn how to play the electric guitar. I can play 3 or 4 chords, but I can't do a progression or a scale yet. So I'm going to work on that. So the guitar and boxing and be a mom to Jackson, and that's it.
Yeah, well, at least you're straight to the point. So you're just gonna, are you like leaving the writing gig for a while, or are you just giving it a break?
I'll probably keep a journal. I don't feel a novel in me. I felt the novel that I did last night. It sounds ridiculous putting a novel together in one night, but you know, it was cut and paste basically. I wrote 3 new things, and then I cut and paste the rest, and that worked for me. I think it's strong. I think it's solid. I think it stands. I ordered a copy last night. Looking forward to having it in my hands. And I'll keep a journal, and I'll always write poetry because it just happens. And might write a novel again at some point. I don't know. But
well, how old is your son?
He's 4 and a half. He turns 5 in November.
So it'll be like eventually going to school pretty soon, and you'll have all that time to write again.
Yes. Yes, he'll start pre-K in September, and they've got lots of good schools in San Antonio. Here it's pretty much hit and miss. And I kept telling my ex-husband, I was like, you know, we've got, regardless of where we stand as a couple, we've got to work as a team and make sure that our son does not go to school in rural Texas. I felt very strongly about that. So,
well, there's a lot
San Antonio,
of like,
San Antonio is still Texas. You know, I'm not that excited about San Antonio, but I'm excited about the boxing gym. The boxing gym is good, and eventually I would like to end up in either Northern California or maybe Oregon. I'd like to leave the country, but barring that, I could be okay in Northern California or Oregon, I think.
I think that's my plan, is to be up in that area eventually down the line, too. It's got that good mix of, like, city, but yet nature, too.
Yes.
It's, like, within, like, such a short
like
span of one another.
There's no extreme weather. And in San Antonio, it is blowing hot right now. It's in the triple digits. And that's, you know, that's the norm, triple digits in the summer. And it's humid and, you know, and I don't want to own a car, but I just got an SUV. I just got an SUV, a hell-damaged SUV. I got to have an SUV because I'm a mom and I'm going to be in a car city. Every city in Texas is a car city. Even Austin is a car city. It's ridiculous.
We got someone on live to talk to Misty in the last 5 minutes.
Humid and, you know,
who's this?
And I don't want to own it.
Who's online?
Who's 501?
Apparently 501 doesn't give a shit. They just wanted us to hear you on the computer.
Oh, God, I hate that sort of thing. Oh, God, okay.
But I don't know who it was.
Hello?
501, you're... Hello, who's this? Who's this?
Apparently 501 doesn't give a shit.
Hello, this is Steve Manning. This is Honest Steve Manning.
God,
hello, Frank.
Hello.
I don't know who it was.
Can you turn down your show a little bit?
Hello, 501. Hello, who's this?
Hello, Frank. This is Steve Manning from Hot Springs, Arkansas.
Can you turn down your computer?
Honest Abe Manning.
Hello, Frank.
Can you turn down your computer?
I was hoping that John Ashbery would call in.
Oh, John Ashbery. I think Jim Murray had him assassinated. Like, because John Ashbery brought on were you calling the show with his, or your character calling the show with John Ashbery's man pussies?
Oh, man pussy, yeah. Kim Wu took part in the man pussy thing.
I think Tim Murray was shocked, and he, you know, had him shot or something. I don't, John Ashbery hasn't been around for those shows in quite a while. I don't know if I got it in me after that. But, yeah. I mean, I tried to get Steve Manning on, but I kept telling him to try to turn the show down. All I could hear was you and him at the same time, but it was you, like, 10 minutes ago.
Steve Manning. Okay.
Honest Abe, man. Honest Abe. I think that's his handle on Facebook. Honest Abe. Sorry about that, Honest Abe. I couldn't really hear you that good.
A former Chicago police officer and FBI informant. Huh.
Is that what, are you reading Us Weekly?
No, I Googled Steve Manning, and it says that he's a former Chicago police officer and FBI informant.
He's looking for you.
Oh, shit.
It's your underground, quote-unquote, boxing arenas. So, how long do you think this world of... are you purposely not having the internet to concentrate on your life? Which is a good thing.
Did you have a purpose, or you just... I've watched Jackson at Home before, and when I had the internet, it didn't work out. I would say, go away, Mommy's working, and working with me on Facebook, doing whatever the hell.
Yeah, that's not work.
I actually had Skype installed for about a week, and that did not go well at all. So, yeah, I can't have the internet. It's like crack for me. It's like alcohol. That's my addiction. That's my addiction is the internet, and specifically Facebook.
Who knows what will happen. There'll probably be some new place in the next year or two, just like MySpace is phased out. But the lady has warned me that the show is going away. So I'd like to say thank you for coming on and to keep in touch with some of us while you're on your adventures.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
It was great to have Misty on tonight. You can go to her store on lulu.com and get her stuff, or her blog spot and get her stuff. Just you can Google her, find out her name, Misty Rain Lawn or Lights. Next week we'll have Dog in a Chain Press and talk about publishing stuff like that. Hopefully I won't be so sick next week, but I don't know. See you later, fuckers.